What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Bo Templin Show. As you know by now, this is not Bo Templin. Uncle Luke Domask here, hijacking the intro, introing the intro, if you will. Bo does not know that I'm actually doing this, but I had to publicly apologize to the man. Because today, which is August 14th, 2020, it's a Friday, a beautiful day here in Chicago. I got a little sidetracked this morning, as you may be aware. Today's episode was supposed to publish on Friday, but as you're listening to it right now on Monday, August 17th, I got sidetracked because Jim Boylan was just relieved of his duties as head coach of the Chicago Bulls, which is a landmark for Bulls basketball, for Bulls basketball fans, because it is the conclusion, finally, of the Garpax regime, the last remnants, if you will. Obviously, Pax is kind of still lurking around at the UC, but in my mind, he's no longer making the decisions. It's been a long, long time coming. We've waited for this day for probably a decade. And I think, you know, the Garpax era started in 2003. The Bulls were not in a good place then. And you got to give Garpax the credit, man. They got out of it. They brought the Bulls back to the playoffs, beat the defending champion Miami Heat in that first playoff series. They had made it back. Obviously got very lucky and selected Derrick Rose with the first overall pick. Built a good team around him, a championship caliber team. Derrick tears his ACL, and it's kind of been downhill since 2012, to be quite honest with you. The run-ins with Tom Thibodeau, the three different head coaches, Hoiberg, Boylan, obviously Tibbs. And it was just time for a change. And I think if you've been listening to our podcast for the last 3 years, we say the term trust the process a lot. And I think this upcoming episode, you're going to hear Bo and I kind of talk about where we started, where we're going, and where we're at right now. 3 years ago, when we started this podcast as a radio show at KCOU, we had an NBA show previewing the NBA season. And I was pretty bummed out at the time because the Bulls had just traded Jimmy Butler that previous summer. They were in full-on rebuild mode. They were going to be really bad for a really long time, tanking. And Bo, who is a Milwaukee Bucks fan, as you know, the Bucks were on the rise. You know, they had Giannis. They had a new team, new head coach. They were going places. And he looks me in the eye. He goes, Luke, or Uncle Luke, as he always says. He goes, it's going to get better. And at the time, I just kind of was just like, yeah, whatever. I hear you. But Bo had a point. He goes, it's going to get better. You may not believe it right now. You may not believe it in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, hell, maybe even 5 years. But it's going to get better. One day, the sun will rise on the city of Chicago, and you're going to wake up with a smile on your face because the Chicago Bulls are in a good place as an organization. And that was today. I think for the first time in a long time, I am very proud to say that I'm a fan of Chicago Bulls. You know, obviously there's a long way to go before we can even start talking about playoffs, much less championships. We got to find ourselves a head coach. Obviously, I've made it aware that Adrian Griffin is my choice, the former Bull, the assistant coach for the Toronto Raptors. Excuse me, the defending champion Toronto Raptors, who've been playing excellent basketball in the bubble. But he tells me, he goes, it's going to get better. And what you're going to hear in this upcoming episode is a lot of that. You know, it's important to understand, I think, Bo's and I privilege at the moment. You know, we're very blessed. We're very grateful that we both have, a job. B, we're following our passions. We're liking what we're doing. We got a good support group around us. We're healthy. You know, it's times like these, you know, I don't have to explain it to y'all who are listening, where you got to look back and see what you're grateful for and what has gotten you here. And I think that's what this episode's all about. It's just Bo and I talking about where we're at, where we're going, where we've been. And it's a different type of episode. I don't think Bo and I have really delved into our personal lives as much as we had in this episode. And I think it's kind of a new little twist on things. Because when I visited San Diego about a week ago and hung out with Bo and his friends and whatnot, him and I were very excited about, the energy around us, just the weekend itself, but also, you know, what lies ahead. And that's always what stuck with me. with Bo. As he's always been the guy who will tell you, hey, it's going to get better. And whether that is, you know, the situation our country's in right now, the pandemic itself, it's going to get better. Maybe that's the optimist in me. I've been known to be a pretty pessimistic person at times, as you can probably tell with my Chicago Bulls takes, but it's going to get better. And that's what this episode's all about. It's meant to put a smile on your face. Bo and I, we were anticipating recording multiple episodes while I was in San Diego. This is the only one we did because, well, we played 72 holes of golf. The tempo was outrageous. I think we went to the beach every day. We had a really good time, and I think by Sunday, Bo and I were shot, man. Bo woke up Saturday morning feeling some certain type of way, and he kind of gave me this look like, I don't know if we're going to get that NBA pod in. And I kind of looked at him like, dude, my voice is completely shot at the moment. So, not to worry. There are big things ahead. We do have a big announcement coming. I can confidently say that. I don't know when we'll announce it, but very excited to share that news when we do. But let's get into it. Why don't we? I'm done rambling here. But remember, good times are coming. Trust the process. Things will get better. All right. Bobby Buckets, take us away.
For tuning into the Bo Templin Show. It is Thursday, August 6th. It is about 12:30 here out on the West Coast. And listen, this has been a really weird year. There's just no other way to put it. And everyone says it, and I'm not going to say anything that's different than what's already been said a million freaking times. But I'm not going to lie, guys. I got a hell of a week planned because the one, the only, the magician of audition, the master of the pick and roll, my producer, my co-host, Uncle Luke Domask, is back in town, and we just got done catching up a little bit, talking. We got a golf round coming up at 3:15 today at Rancho Bernardo Inn. We got golf tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, going to watch a lot of PGA Championship. We just did about 25, 30 minutes just kind of talking about what's going on in our lives, work, business, family, living situations, whatever it may be, just to catch up a little bit. And we will get into all of the good stuff, all the NBA talk, a little bit of boxing. Uncle Luke's really diving into the sport, and we'll do plenty more than that. But yeah, this was a lot of fun. We're excited. We're passionate. We're energetic. We've been doing this a long time, and it's just a blessing that we can continue to do what we love. So without further ado, this is the Bo Templin Show. What stood out?
I mean, easily the tortilla.
Yeah.
I'm just like, probably. But the way they marinated the eggs with the avocado,
yep.
It wasn't like you take a bite. Sometimes in burritos in general, not just breakfast burritos, but sometimes you'll take a bite and you'll have maybe, depending on the burrito, beans on the left, rice in the middle, lettuce on the side. You know, it's kind of all over the place.
You want every ingredient in every bite.
Yes, of course. And that place, Pipes, really, really set the tone for the weekend.
Would love to record a pod there.
Wow.
That's a place I yes. could record a podcast.
I would agree. I would
Pipes
agree.
Cafe, man.
So bring it in, man.
All right,
let's go.
I guess we just got to start.
Everyone loves your intros the way you
I know,
bring
I
it
know.
In.
Yeah, we'll get there. So in a year as weird as 2020, right? Just literally of all the bullshit that's happened.
Of course.
A lot of things don't feel right. Mm-hmm. A lot of things just... you're like second guessing everything. You know, when I put on the Padre game, I'm like second guessing it almost. There's no fans in the crowd. I should be working it. I go to the beach. People are wearing a mask as I'm walking down or whatever. You're like constantly reminded of it over and over. One thing though, that still feels pretty good is having you sit down and do a little podcast.
Yeah. Guy. Pandemic proof, man.
Bro, that doesn't matter. You know, you were... The original story is that you were supposed to come out in May.
Yep.
I mean, we've had this plan for a long time. I mean, your birthday's May. My birthday's May. We've been doing it the last couple of years now. And
3 days in May.
3 days in May is a thing for us. So when COVID shut all this down, it was like, all right, adapt or die. Let's figure it out. Just stay patient. Things will work out. They always do. No problem about it. And Uncle Luke's like, well, how's August sound? And of all your friends, like, in the Midwest, they just have to be so fucking confused.
Yeah.
Luke, what, like, why are you going to, like, California? Like, you're not, is it work or is it, like, what are you doing over there?
Yeah, man. I mean, look, there's no, like, to go off of the COVID thing a little bit, like, there's no way around it. It dominates the day-to-day news. It's the life we live in at the moment. And, you know, you got to wear masks, get through it, do your thing, do your part as an individual, and so on and so forth. I think a lot of people are confused. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to San Diego. They're like, California, it's got the most cases in the country state-wise. I'm like, I'm keeping an eye on San Diego. It's just like, look, you don't understand. Encinitas, California, it's a very socially distanced town.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people are
golfing.
Before
COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if life looks all that different in Encinitas outside of, like, nightlife.
Sure. I mean, nightlife, obviously, across the board has been completely shut down. Right. Bars and nightclubs are probably the number one spread.
People are still surfing.
Right.
People are still golfing. People are still hiking. They're still enjoying the outdoors.
And that's what, you know, that's the easiest way to combat this is spend more time outside. Right. And I mean, like, to go back to your original question, though, I mean, just growing up, coming here around this time of year anyway, like, dude, this when I fly into San Diego, it feels like an extension of me now. It doesn't feel like vacation. It feels like I'm supposed to be here at this time. And I mean, I think it's funny. The last time I saw you, it feels like forever ago. And it was. The last time I saw you, the Missouri Tiger football team was ranked at the time. We were number 22.
I was just going to bring
it up. And now everything is like, that feels eons ago.
One, I just don't even know about the upcoming college season. Two, I don't know what the hell happened with the Missouri Tigers last season. Mm. And just the catastrophic.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about it. You know,
I know we don't.
I think it's a good bookend of how much has changed since the last time we did one of these.
That's a good way to put it. But oddly enough, even with all that time in between, dude, recording just feels the same every single time, bro. A year could go by. It could be a month. It could be 2 weeks. I could have seen you yesterday. And just like sitting down, hashing it out, creating it, always just feels like second nature. It just feels so normal, bro.
I agree.
Of everything that isn't normal going on, it feels normal to sit down. So Uncle Luke's going to be out here in SD in San Diego, California. It's 12:04 right now here on Thursday. And we got a good couple days planned. We got tea time later today at 3:18 at Rancho Bernardo Inn. It'll be me, Uncle Luke, Brendan Donnie Walsh, who's going to be here any minute. Kenny Tolliver.
Another Glenn Ellen Felon.
The Glenn Ellen Felon himself will be out here. Kenny and I were roommates sophomore year living in the fraternity house together. We spent a lot of time together freshman summer in Columbia playing golf 4 times a week. Playing a ton. So I'm super stoked.
He's a hell of a golfer. I mean, like, yeah, I've known Kenny going back to high school. Known him forever. Yeah.
So we got a good couple days lined up, bro. A lot of beach, a lot of pool, a lot of friends, a lot of homies. We'll be hanging out. But before we got into the hoop talk, before we get into a movie that we want to break down, whatever it is, I thought we had to do like 20 minutes just catching up. Like, nothing specific. This isn't necessarily for people that are looking for sports content. This is literally for the 30 to 40 to 50 people that have been following us since Family First Days, like a long time, and just want to hear what's going on. Work, living situation, family, whatever it is.
Right.
I thought if we could kind of do that first, get that out of the way, and then we can get into our, you know the fun hoop stuff that is easy to take care of.
Absolutely.
So Uncle Luke, where's Uncle Luke in the work world right now?
I'm good, man. I think a lot of people are sometimes confused by what I do because I do a lot of different things.
Preach.
Yeah, it's just like that's just
amen on that.
You know, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you how glamorous or wonderful my life is or whatever. You know, I like what I do, I like the job I work for. I've just gotten really into, you know, I never thought going back to my freshman year of college summer, needed a job that, you know, working at a sandwich place as a college job would turn into a career path that I've never really anticipated or just foresaw.
Isn't that funny though? How that coming.
the world works like
just
that.
Just a very small little, it was an hourly job and I needed the money to obviously get through the summer, but also for in-state tuition at Mizzou. And one thing led to another, become a manager at the place, understand the business a little bit more, start to talk to other people who work at different restaurants. Okay. And then, you know, catch a nice little lucky break with a part-time gig in college where I'm working for a guy who used to own a restaurant in Chicago, wanted to basically just, you know, honestly, very smart and COVID proof, to be honest with you, sell his ingredients, his sauces, the things that made his restaurant great and sustainable for so long.
Okay.
Which was an Indian place.
So are you going restaurant to restaurant, essentially?
This was my first job at it. My first job at college, but also my part-time gig.
Okay.
He sold his stuff to quick service restaurants. You know, like a quick service restaurant, for example, is Chipotle, right? It's not fast food, but it's quick service.
Okay.
You can order it on the counter, sit down. That's the kind of the terminology of it. He would sell it to airports that, you know, had food halls, things like that. Food halls in the Midwest have become very big, where it's just like a lot of different, like almost pop-up shop type restaurants go into, and then like it's a big food hall, obviously, right now.
Are those downtown?
Predominantly in the Loop of Chicago. Okay. There's one on Clark Street. I mean, they're all over the place. They're very big in very corporate environments, like cities like that, because there's a lot of different options for people to walk in and out of. Obviously, this was all pre-pandemic. I'm just giving the context behind it.
No.
And then, you know, one thing led to another. The job I currently have now, I got denied from it. I got to the last round. A coworker I currently have now, she was offered the job before me. She went to Mizzou. So I could never get upset about that. And I obviously got a couple of months later, they called me back and said, we have an open position. And, you know, it's, you know, basically more or less creating content for a brand that is one of, if not the leading, news restaurant brand in the country. You know, we break a lot of news. There's a lot of news you see on CNBC business, like restaurant business wise that, you know, the people that I work for, the editors, they break.
So, based off of that, and this has been the case in a lot of media outlets, whatever, the numbers are through the roof right now.
Yeah.
And so when all this bullshit hit, your work just skyrocketed in responsibility and requirements and work output. And you take the job, walk in, and they're like, all right, our monthly viewers essentially doubled.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to take care of this.
Right. No, exactly. And I think, you know, my brand went from a magazine brand, as most content media brands from the 90s into the 2000s into the 2010s and 2020s now have evolved from print to digital, website to
social
now,
type deal.
Now multimedia type stuff, which is obviously video, social, and podcast. And that's kind of where, you know, I've really have thrived in my work is kind of pushing the envelope of basically my job is, how many different types of ways can I get the same story out there, right? Whether it's through audio storytelling, video production, newsletters are huge now. I mean,
I feel especially in the business realm.
Of course, email newsletters, like what's the most convenient, efficient way I can get your eyes, your ears to follow this, my brand, which is called Restaurant Business Online. And you know, work's been great, man. It's tough to complain about work when you have a job right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I see it every day.
1,000%.
The amount of millions of people who are unemployed, especially in the restaurant industry, like it's been, you know, mentally kind of a grind because there hasn't been a lot of great news, you know. Yes, the numbers have taken off and in terms of the brand itself is doing very well, but the news, unfortunately,
the content itself
is very depressing news, but people need to obviously, like, operators, CEOs, you know, the audience that my brand caters to, they need to know this data. And right now people want any sort of trustworthy data that they can get their hands on, because obviously, you know, there's an attack on facts. There's an attack on new media outlets in general. And you know, we're not controversial. We're breaking restaurant news, right?
Yeah.
Whether that's independents or chains or so on and so forth. So no, work's been good.
Good.
I think, you know, a lot of people are kind of beginning to understand what I do, but I don't think I've been like the biggest in the Midwest, the biggest, like, you guys have no idea what's going on out there. Like, what this kid's up to. Cause a lot of people ask me, what's Bo doing? I was like, well, he's supposed to be basically in the Padres dugout this time this year, but he's actually pivoted to, you know, hanging out with some pretty significant people. And I just want to I just want to ask this question to kick it off.
Go ahead.
Is anything, so everything's kind of like on the table. I'm not going to like, you know, I just want to ask this question.
You can ask whatever you want. And if we really need to delete it, we can delete it in post-production. Okay. So I'm not stressed.
So what is the most underrated, never, you would never see it on a camera. What is like your favorite part about Jamie Foxx that you did not anticipate him kind of being about?
Literally, like,
we'll give you the context later.
Sure, sure. The coolest thing about Foxx is that he gives you, like, energy in the conversation. So when you sit down with him, if, like, if you get that chance, you know, and you're just bumping, if he gives you the chance. Time of day. Like,
yeah.
He wants to have conversations. He does. That's not like an act on TV. That's not an act in movies. It's not an act on his social or YouTube page.
A lot of people love the way he tells stories, the way he converses with people.
Bro, he's probably one of the best storytellers ever.
Maybe
if not ever. And the guy is so talented. And I got literally, bro, I can't make it up. An hour in his backyard talking about the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. And to have a perspective, he's telling me, you know, in Terrell, Texas is where he grew up. Mm-hmm. He said it's like one of the most racist towns in Texas. So to grow up there and then make it big in L.A. and you're loved and revered and respected and people want your opinions and you go back to Terrell, Texas and it's still racist. Mm-hmm. And the only reason you're liked is because you're famous. But your buddy next to you who isn't famous, he's not allowed to come in the restaurant.
Right.
And, you know, to talk to him about that and we were talking about the different experiences. If Foxx doesn't make it big, does he have that same perspective of, you know what, like not all white people are bad. Like growing up for him, he had the idea. And I think this is the case for a lot of like African-American people is that white people are bad. Mm. And because he made it big, that wasn't the case. He realized he had other perspectives. And his friend, though, that didn't make it, he doesn't have that same perspective. And right. So we're just talking about like how much where you end up can affect where you've been. And when you go back, you realize like we were just talking about this morning. I don't take Encinitas for granted at all to do 5 years in Missouri. Not that Missouri's bad. It's just different. Right. And I come home and I see the beaches. I see the cliffs, all that stuff, the sunshine and a little Grateful Dead playing as you're driving down to Swami's.
No humidity. Yeah.
It's beautiful here. But yeah, the fact that Foxx gives you the time of day. And then the other thing that really stood out to me. Being, you know, a family guy, family first being the name of our show,
of course.
To hit up his place, right? And he's made it big. He is as big as you could possibly be.
Some legendary parties in that establishment.
Like, it's so easy to sleep on how big he really is, bro. He's done it. He's done the Grammy, the Oscar. He's done that shit.
Hosted everything.
For him to be spending his weeks with his kids, cousins, and just some local like community kids in their backyard playing basketball games like Pop Shot, and then the next day going down to the park and playing softball with family and friends, and like, you know, his business partners are there. Bro, that, like, I looked at that, I'm like, that's what I want to do when I'm older. Mm-hmm. I don't need like to be on a yacht or whatever. Like, bro, you're telling me I can be with my family and friends playing basketball in my backyard, like we're playing music, like having a good time.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx has the money to flex and be on a yacht and do all those glamorous things, but he chooses
bro,
to...
Bro, he still showed up to the park in a Rolls.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
he still showed up to the park in a Rolls, as he calls it, his white person car.
Yeah.
And he gets to drive around all proper and nice. You know, he gets to drive around.
A great Jamie Foxx impersonation right there.
Dude, he's good. He's good. But yeah, and he talks about like, when he does drive the Rolls, you know, he feels like white and you know, no cop's going to pull him over and it's not a big deal when they do. But if he wasn't him, that's not the case. So it was just, that was so fascinating to me. And I'm with my cousin Dylan, who's been on the show a couple times, his homie Rez, and then Cole Misick, who's also been on the show before. And and that's kind of our in. Cole works with Foxx a little bit
as
in the hoop world.
Trainer.
Yeah, yeah, training him in hoops. And Cole worked a lot at the Mamba Academy and is super tight with Mamba and all that jazz. Cole's working on a overseas contract. He wants to go play.
That's awesome.
And he's got an agent.
He's going to do it.
It's going to happen, bro.
That's cool.
So, dude, it's crazy the people you bump into, bro. There, at one point, I was surrounded like by a net worth of like to Billy. And it was like, what the hell,
I mean,
bro?
Those are the doors that I think people dream of being in, and you're just kind of getting a glimpse.
Bro, know, not just, that they know who I am or anything like that. Like, I'm a 23-year-old nobody. But I'm enjoying the time. And
you're just showing face.
Bro, I'm literally just smiling. And literally just smiling's gotten me where I am now, so why not continue being nice to people and genuine, bro? I don't, if I'm going to talk to someone, I'm going to have a good conversation with them.
That's just so cool that Jamie Foxx can still be who he is, but also, you know, you come into his house and he kind of shows you around.
Bro, he's giving me lunch.
Has a sincere conversation,
bro,
with you. Like,
an hour talking about like racial tension in the country, feeding me lunch, welcoming me to play hoops with the family.
Yeah, having like a serious conversation, but also being, you know, almost like a family member. You know,
yeah,
like an awesome uncle per se.
I said something during that conversation, that Black Lives Matter conversation. You're just talking, bro. Nothing like outrageous, yeah. Like nothing radical on either side. Literally just kind of going back and forth, and to hear him say like, "You see, this kid gets it," word for word. To hear that from Fox, I'm like, "Oh shit." Oh, that's going in the memory bank. We're going to save that one.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a good feeling now, bro. He's so cool. And dude, it's LA's weird. I like SD a lot more, but I'm having a lot of fun with work right now. And people ask like what exactly I do. My parents don't even really know what I do.
I hardly do. I mean, I talk once a week on FaceTime with you for about an hour, and I'm still trying to.
I would, the best way I could really describe it is media consulting.
Probably. Yeah.
I just consult people with the media part of their business. Mm-hmm. So whatever it may be, you could be trying to sell something. You could be trying to establish something. I'm essentially just going to give you a little bit of time a day and tell you like, oh, here's a couple things I would consider if I was you guys before you really like ramp up like, I don't know what they call the advertisement in print TV and
like media buying.
Sure. As opposed to that, you know, you could explore this route with social. You could try and establish a podcast as a way to like promote your business. We could look for podcasts for you to advertise on. So I would say media consulting is probably what I do. Now, pre-COVID, I was going to do the shit with the Padres, broadcasting games, like literally sitting at the computer, listening for the commercial calls, listening for advertisements, making sure all those get played. Pitching change comes up. Make sure we have like all the spots in the right order, and then helping build the pregame and postgame show. So although my voice wasn't going to be on early in the season, I'm fairly confident, bro, by halfway through this season, I was going to be hosting at some point. Now, my boss could listen to this and he's going to be like, what the hell is this kid talking about? I like to speak things into existence. I like to have good energy, good mojo out there. Dude, I really truly believe I was going to be hosting at times pregame, postgame show for Padres radio this year. And you get bummed about it at the time. I was crushed, and you know, you go to Mizzou so that you can get a job with a pro sports team.
Yeah.
And now I look back at it and you know, there's, I can't exactly say, but a couple things have now lined up where a couple different offers, and maybe it was a blessing in disguise for me, bro. Like literally there's a chance that what I'm talking with different companies for, it could blow away. Like what I was going to be doing with the Padres. So just trying to stay fluid, bro. It's rolling with the punches. Wherever life takes me, I'm down. I don't really care. Like,
pretty,
I just want to do great things.
Pretty impressive that you went from potentially being in the Padres locker room to, you know, just being around that organization and covering that organization to falling out of that and just kind of ending up in Jamie Foxx's.
Yeah, bro. And like the
compound
Fox
is
thing,
pretty,
like the
I'm
Fox
just, you know
thing,
what I mean?
It's like, not even like work related. It was literally just like through friends and stuff. Right. And now the work thing's really great. We're signed on to do like the production company that I work for, Lucky 13 Productions. I mean, we're signed on to do like 3, 4, 5 more movies this year. So I'll be traveling. I'll probably be in Hawaii at some point this year. I'll be in New Mexico. I'll be in Mississippi again. We might be going to like Dominican or Puerto Rico, LA, a couple shoots. So filming behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, at some point, once the company starts to own more and more of the properties or the projects, say instead of owning 5 to 10% of the movie, they own 70 to 80%, then they're going to be in charge of promotion. And if I can help out with that and start saying, all right, well, we're going to want commercials during the Lakers-Celtics game on Sunday night on ESPN. That might be one way for us to like get some good eyes on this. That would be really fun. that would be really, really fun. So that's, bro, a lot of people don't know what I do. I'm not exactly sure. I've been filming like a lot of different workouts too. That's like been another thing is like,
yeah, tell them what the first thing you said to me this morning. I walked downstairs.
So I've been like kind of talking back and forth with this trainer who works with a lot of like celebrities in Los Angeles and stuff. And I filmed a couple workouts last week. I'm going to save the names just because if it gets posted, I'll say the name, but
okay,
I'll save it for now. But couple familiar actors and actresses that you would know, I filmed their workouts and they're asking today, like, hey, we really want to see the video. I'm like, it's coming. It's coming.
You got to produce it.
Yeah. Yeah. Give it time. Like, Uncle Luke's in town. All right. I got to talk a little bit of hoop with Uncle. Okay. They got plenty of time. It'll all be good. But, so yeah, bro, that's good. I know you've got an offer recently to do something with your work. A little daily.
Yeah.
Daily type deal. You want to break that down a little bit?
Yeah, no, man. Like, so Tuesdays and Thursdays. So it's a daily podcast. It's just like, it was kind of just like an idea I kind of formulated in my head just through a conversation. You know, something I learned in the last 6 months or so, because, you know, your meetings where you're in person are now over phone calls, over Zoom meetings. I don't
do
Zoom meetings.
Yeah.
We just do regular, you know, calls or whatever. What's going on, buddy? Jack Haggerty.
Dog, what's good? Jack Haggerty watching
the backyard.
I'll talk
to you soon. Enjoy your burrito. I thoroughly enjoyed mine. The best burrito in the block.
We would never.
I had all four in my hand in the car, and I go, I've never held a baby before, but this is pretty much how I think it feels.
We're wrapping up. We got like 3-5 minutes left. Almost done. Yeah, you know.
I'll talk to you soon.
We stay hustling, dog.
You know,
so Tuesday, Thursdays, yeah. And work's doing a lot of stuff on the phone, yeah. Type of shit like that.
Well, just like through calls or whatever. And I think it's very important to not just be on, just be present in the call. I think in meetings and in person, I always thought, always offer one thing. Make your presence known.
Okay.
Always offer your opinion, your idea. I always think it's important to, I don't want to say own the meeting, but, you know, get something in there that might spark something. If it doesn't, so be it. You move on to the next meeting or whatever.
Well, the thing with that, though, is you can't be offended when the idea gets shot down.
Of course.
Bro, are you kidding?
That's part of life is getting shot down.
You know what, bro? That might be a baseball thing. You get real comfortable getting out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's going to happen a lot in
33%
baseball.
33% is Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So just get used to swinging it, bro.
And so I was on a call with like a quick catch-up call with my editor-in-chief, the guy I kind of work for, who is obviously the editor-in-chief of the restaurant brand, restaurant business. And I was just like, hey, like, I know we were trying to transitioning it from a way of this looking like a print to digital website, you know, just having a website to more of a, like a multimedia interactive, like where the world's going, where media is going. Why don't we have like a daily podcast that we just plaster on the website that's there daily, that's in newsletters, that's all over the place. You can get it anywhere. Quick 3 to 4 minutes. You know, biggest news of the day, kind of what is kind of running through the website itself.
And biggest thing that we've learned, I think you and I both would agree on this too, and I'll let you continue, is for a long time, and we followed podcasting since the beginning, right? I recorded my first podcast, I literally think in 2014. Mm-hmm. So literally been around a long time, and you start making them and they're an hour and a half, like Joe Rogan or like the Bill Simmons. And all right, let's cut it down to 45. I've been doing the 10-minute stuff with boxing, and it's so much easier for people to consume. And for you to do a daily, you know, the 3 to 4 minute stuff, people love it right now, bro.
Yeah, and I was just like, it's easy for me to edit, produce, and get it out there. And the great thing about my company is if you have a good idea, they'll send it through the company. And if people sign on to it, let's back it. Let's do it. Like, this is a good idea.
That support is invaluable.
Exactly. It's the reason why I like doing what I do and work so much is because, you know, whether it was video or audio, video pre-COVID to obviously what we do now, we've been doing podcasts for a while, but this is something a little different. To for them to be like, go for it, Luke, your vision, let's follow
green
it.
Green light.
To hear that, to hear the green light from your coach, you know, your boss, your boss's boss, and then like the president, you know, of the company making a comment on it, being like, hey, this is something new at this company, we love it, let's do it. To hear that, like that whole backing all the way to the top, is invaluable it makes me want to continue to do more. So long story short, I produce it daily, but Tuesdays and Thursdays, I will be actually like on the podcast.
On you.
Yeah.
It's on you, dog.
So, I might put it on my Instagram.
Yeah, we'll get there.
But it's like the designers backed it, artwork, everything. It's on there. You can get it wherever you go.
It's amazing, bro.
It's cool. It's not designed for the audience we're currently talking to. It's designed for, people who consume restaurant, news. But like, who doesn't love going? I think now you've learned that like how valuable a place in society restaurants have.
Yeah.
Because restaurants, I think, have gotten a significant, more or less significant part of the blame in terms of the spread of this virus. And you can't really fully put it on them because look, they're a business.
Yeah.
They have people that need jobs that support their family. Like this is like in 08.
1,000%.
In 08 when the recession happened, like the Great Recession happened, people lost a lot of their jobs. Where did they fall back to? They need an hourly job somewhere to get quick cash. Restaurant industry.
And when 9/11 hit, what was comforting to Americans?
Food.
So the Food Network
takes
blasts off.
Yeah, exactly.
Comforting.
There's always been a, just like we talk about sports, common denominator.
Yep.
Food is not only a common denominator, but a way to understand somebody better. You want to get to know somebody? Have a meal.
Grab a bite.
Yeah.
Grab a bite. But, and I say this, we've said the sports thing forever is world's greatest common denominator. Food, music, and sports, bro.
We can all agree on that.
Bro, you could go anywhere in the world, not speak the same language, have nothing in common, and somehow, some way. Dude, if I'm on a basketball court and I put my hand up, the guy's going to just throw me a pass. I'm going to take a shot. I'm going to give it right back to him.
Yeah, of course.
And it's like an unspoken language, really, for a lot of people. And it's a beautiful thing. But food is an interesting place for you to go because it's not really food. It's a sector between business and social,
mm-hmm.
right? There's two different parts of it. And so as all this has kind of folded and played out, we've gotten to see like insights onto both of those realms through food.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I think a lot of people ask me, you have this job, you really like it. What's your next move? And to be quite honest with you, I've never been a person who's like totally planned future. I have an idea, but
yeah,
it just seems that like each time I'm thinking I'm going to pivot away from being in this kind of circle, food just presents like the job just kind of presents itself and it just happens to be has something to do with the restaurant food industry in general. It's just like I can't get away from it. It's following me wherever I go. And it all started from an hourly job at a sandwich place in Columbia, Missouri. That's how it's continuously evolved over
Shout
time.
Out Pickleman's.
Shout out Pickleman's, I never really enjoyed the place, but like in terms of what it offered to
That's
me.
That's amazing.
And
bro.
I think the opportunities I have been given, very blessed, very grateful for it. And it's just happy to have a job and happy to have a job that supports me for being, I'm not some big guy in the company by any means, but I have a very important role and my team has very important roles. And in this time where everything has gone digital rapidly by necessity, by survival, I've been one of the lucky ones whose kind of career path has kind of taken getting a nice little shot of caffeine, if you will, into what I do. It's like, I've been trying to convince, not just in my company or wherever I'm freelancing, whatever. I've been trying to convince people like, this is where the world's going. At some point it's going to happen. And when COVID hit within a month, like people were just like, shit, like there's a lot of things that have changed, probably for the better, but like also like out of necessity. And
so one, I'm super stoked for you, bro. Love to hear that everything's going that way. And I mean, I knew it was going well, but all of that going well is very, very cool. And the daily pod stuff. I mean, I've been telling you forever. I think you're on air, you're on air talent. And you back in school, you didn't really want to associate all that much with the on air talent thing, but you're on air talent, bro. And people love the voice and they love the opinions. So if you can take that to food, is this something you can do from anywhere in the country?
I hope so. I'm not going back to the office till 2021.
Okay.
I work from home 2 days a week anyway. That's one of the nice little perks of the job. And I was going, I had a lot of trips lined up. I was going to go to a conference literally the week everything shut down. I was on my way to Phoenix to a conference to go behind the scenes. One of the main speakers was Shaq, and I was going to get 5 minutes video behind the scenes with Dr. Shaquille O'Neal. Obviously didn't happen, but one day it was like, to me, Shaq is like the number one guy I want to meet. Like, personally, just like that's somebody who kind of combines all the things that I love into one awesome, large man.
Well, the reason I bring it up,
right,
because there's always been, you know, the rumor, the faint chance that at some point Uncle Luke makes the move out permanently to the beautiful West Coast. So I guess for people wondering, is this something you can continue to do if you were to try and make a move out west? Mm-hmm. Would you want to consider moving east? Like, you know, New York City is as big of a place for food as probably anywhere.
Right, Manhattan.
So would you want to kind of explore a realm outside of Chicago?
I have no interest in going to New York City. I used to when I was younger. And then I kind of, you know, get older, you start to live in Chicago, and I start to understand, like, I've been to New York City. And it's not a knock on New York City. It's just, I'd personally rather just be someone that's from Chicago.
Okay.
You know, I think I'm from New York City. I'm from Chicago. Like, there's always been a friendly little rivalry there between those two towns because, you know, Chicago is often labeled the second city. It's in the middle of the country. It's,
yeah,
you know, it's blue collar in the way people handle themselves. You know, there's always a glamorous side of Chicago, but there's, if you know Chicago, you know, it's a blue collar town.
Chicago is blue collar. I think the suburbs has a little bit of a warmth to it that, mm-hmm, New York City doesn't have.
Right.
I think you walk into New York City, you're just angry. Like, right away.
Sure.
You got to walk around angry. You're pissed off at the weather.
Right.
Like, we were talking about that with, like, honestly, sports teams. When players come to San Diego, are they too happy?
Yeah.
Right?
Like, only got one team here now. Yeah.
Yeah. But are they too happy here in San Diego where, like, they're chilling in their backyard, they got a pool, weather's beautiful, wife and kid are happy, and they're going to the beach later that day for a walk. You got to go to the game. Like, it's fine. You know, it's work. You know, baseball's enjoyable. Whereas, like, if you're in Boston and you're a player and it's still March or it's April and there's still another snowfall and you're like, what the fuck is this shit? And you're fucking pissed off and you're walking out of your house. You got your beanie on and a little scarf around your neck and you're all pissed off walking into work. Does that help a player? Right? Does that help a squad almost to have that energy kind of going into their season? You know, it's one of the problems probably of San Diego sports is it's too easy. Life's too easy out here.
Life's too good out here. I mean, you know, I just think that I've gotten all I would need out of New York City just living in Chicago.
Okay.
And that's, you know, it's going to be really hard to pry me out of that town. But I know in order for me to grow a little bit, you know, I've got some plans. I've got some ideas of what I want to do. Chicago will always be home. I always want to have a zip code attached to me in Chicago. But I think there's a time and place where you got to take a next step and kind of get out of your comfort zone a little bit. And, you know, coming here would not feel out of my comfort zone per se, but
it's
a different place to live.
I also think it's a lot less out of your comfort zone than people who don't know you think it is. People don't understand that you're family. Like, they're kind of Southern California people, bro. They're AZ people. Like,
right. Parents went to U of A, like, spring break.
This is normal to them. And I think, you know, you make the move out here, I think they follow you. And
I'm an only child. They will follow me.
Yeah. They're going to follow you out here. So, yeah, bro, that'll be an exciting time. We got a good couple days ahead. We can wrap this up, bro.
Of course.
It's easy, light work.
Good place.
But yeah, just wanted to catch up a little bit, let people know what's going on. And then we'll get an NBA pod in this week. We'll squeeze in another one, no doubt about it. But we got some golf to go play and a little sunshine to enjoy.
And
so,
the PGA's on, man.
PGA, Tiger's in the hunt a little bit. We got a nice leaderboard right now.
The San Diego kid, Schauffele.
Schauffele is
leading the way,
San Diego State grad. But yeah, Jack Haggerty's here. Dustin Sleater's here. Brendan Donnie Walsh on his way. Kenny Tolliver. Austin Keeler's in town. So
more to come.
Bro, let's have a weekend.
All right, let's do
it. Let's go home, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's go home. Let's go home.